Our state capitol report continues on Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. The head of the state elections board says Republican criticism of the agency over a recent audit are overblown, and we'll talk about that for the rest of this hour. If you want to get in on this topic, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Talk at WPR.org is the email address. You can also post a comment or question on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. My guest in this half hour is Kevin Kennedy, the director and general counsel of the state's Government Accountability Board. Kevin Kennedy, welcome back to the Ideas Network. So there have been a number of calls in the legislature for changes in the Government Accountability Board. We've had a number of guests on this program talking about this. You say Republican concerns about the GAB audit are overblown. What do you mean by that?
Well, basically, an audit is designed not to tell you what you're doing right, but to find areas of improvement. And audits, by their nature, are harsh. But if you take a look at objectively at what the audit shows, it shows that during an incredibly volatile time, the Government Accountability Board had to set priorities, and some things got put behind there. And it also looked at the performance of the agency staff and said, here are things that you can do better that would be more transparent. But it didn't say that you were a complete failure. And in fact, if you look at the past 4 years, what you see is that this board has performed admirably. The agency has conducted 16 separate election events, many of them unscheduled, handled the on-again, off-again photo ID, was poised to have that ready for the fall elections if necessary. I said it was incredible demands on an agency. What we really needed was more time to get things done, if anything.
Okay, I guess maybe we should probably establish a little bit of context, and we don't have a lot of time, so we don't want to get too far into the details, but the Government Accountability Board, what is it, what's its job, and how did we get it?
Well, the agency is a nonpartisan agency, meaning the staff is nonpartisan, and the board members are nonpartisan, and they're selected. Staff is selected through the civil service process, with the exception of my position and two administrators. The agency is in charge of administering elections, campaign finance, lobbying disclosure, and compliance with the state ethics code for public officials. A lot of that is disclosure activity, but it also enforces the law by bringing civil forfeiture actions against individuals who violate the campaign finance, lobbying, or state ethics code.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that the Government Accountability Board is sort of a combination of what used to be the State Ethics Board and the State Elections Board. Is that accurate?
That's correct. It replaced the bipartisan State Elections Board and the nonpartisan State Ethics Board.
There have been suggestions that the Government Accountability Board has become a partisan agency. What do you say to that?
I strongly disagree with that. There's really nothing to support that. The agency has to make tough calls when it makes enforcement decisions, administrative decisions about who gets on the ballot, who doesn't. And it does it in a nonpartisan, unbiased manner. What happens is that because you're making decisions about partisan participants, they're the ones that are going to be affected by that. But Democrats and Republicans have all come out on the short end of those decision-making. But if you take a look during the recalls, both sides challenged us in court on 10 different lawsuits. In every single case, we were upheld either by the circuit court or by a court of appeals.
Mm-hmm. A recently released document seemed to show that the Government Accountability Board was working with Democratic prosecutors who were going after people who were defending Governor Walker, including conservative media personalities. What's your take on this, and what does this all mean?
Well, the Government Accountability Board and its staff work with prosecutors throughout the state. They have the criminal side of the matters that we enforce civilly. We are often in contact with district attorneys who are elected on a partisan basis. They may be Democrats, they may be Republicans, but because the agency is the primary source of expertise for election administration, campaign finance administration, the state code of ethics, which also applies to local election officials that the DAs prosecute, we are always going to be a source of information for them, a resource for them. It's not unusual that we'll work hand in hand with, we're looking at possible civil forfeitures or criminal forfeitures. The fact that some of them are Democratic, them being the district attorneys, and some Republican, is just the nature of the job.
Republicans also didn't like the revised ballot design for the November election, saying there wasn't a clear distinction between the office and the first candidate listed, which was always a Democrat. What was wrong with the previous layout that warranted a change from the GAB?
Well, the order of the ballot is always determined by the prior election results. So in the next round of elections, the Republicans will be first as opposed to the Democrats, because the Republican candidate for governor got the most votes. There was a ballot design issue, and really it was a discussion that went on between local election officials and our staff, complaining there was too much shading and clutter on the partisan primary ballot. I think what the dispute showed, though, was that there needed to be more involvement of individuals on this. The ballot was available for review in August. The challenge didn't come up. Actually, it was available in July. It didn't come up until October on that. But the board in December reviewed its process for designing ballots and solicited greater input, and all parties had a chance to weigh in on the ballots that are being used this spring.
State Representative Dean Knutson of Hudson is the leading legislator in efforts to make changes at the Government Accountability Board. Representative Knutson was on this program not too long ago. He says that the problems at the GAB are structural, that you, Kevin Kennedy, are not supposed to be running the agency. It's supposed to be run by the six judges. And, well, let's start with that, and then he had some other things to say I want you to respond to. How does the GAB work in terms of its day-to-day operations, what's the role of the six judges who form the Government Accountability Board, and what's the role for staff?
Well, the board operates just like the many other citizen boards in the state. The citizen members, in this case all former judges, set the policy. They make the final enforcement decisions, although the law allows them to delegate certain decisions to the staff. The staff is responsible for the day-to-day operations. The board picks an individual to serve as the agency head. That's me. I serve at the pleasure of the board. That means that every day I audition for my job. Mm-hmm. It means that it takes only four votes of the six former judges to remove me or change the course of that. But the board is basically the policy decision maker, the enforcement decision maker.
Okay.
And they set the framework for
and
how the agency
Kevin, operates. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we've got to go to a news break. I want to continue this part of the discussion when we come back. It's the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. It's our State Capitol Report for this week. Joy Cardine is off. I'm John Munson. And Kevin Kennedy is my guest. He's the Director and General Counsel of the state's Government Accountability Board. And Kevin, before we went to the news, we were talking about the structure and operation of the Government Accountability Board. And just to kind of summarize where we were on that, the board itself, which is composed of six former judges, they set policy for the GAB, more or less, and the administrators, including yourself, carry it out. Is that a fair summation?
Yes, it is.
So what else do we need to say about this to kind of give people an idea of what the GAB does and how it works?
Well, the GAB has a lot of partners that it works with. We have 1,852 municipal clerks that are on the ground carrying out elections and 72 county clerks. There are our election official partners, and then we work with district attorneys, as we discussed earlier. But, we serve as a resource. The public gets a lot of information from us about how government works. Where does the money come from in elections? Who's on the ballot for elections? Who's trying to influence government through lobbying activities? That's all information that comes off of our website. So we're really there as a resource for the public to get a window on how government operates.
If there was anything that you could change about how the GAB is set up, what would it be?
You know, the GAB is a vast improvement over what we had originally, which was, again, two citizen boards. And, you know, compared to what you see in other states where the person in charge of elections and campaign finance and lobbying is often a partisan elected or appointed secretary of state, or in some cases, the lieutenant governor, I see very little that would structurally be changed. Probably the big thing would be even more transparency. When the legislature created the Government Accountability Board, it required that a lot of its activity with respect to investigations be conducted behind closed doors. The fact that a complaint is filed cannot be disclosed by the staff or the board members. How that is disposed of, unless it is, leads to charges or a finding of no probable cause, or what the status of the investigation is as things proceed, is all something that's shielded from the public. And this is something we spoke up against when the agency was created in 2007, and it's something that even the Audit Bureau found frustrating because the Attorney General said that the auditors couldn't look at our investigative files.
800-642-1234. We've got about 10 minutes remaining in the program for you to weigh in on this issue. Joan in Eau Claire is with us. Let's go to Joan. Joan, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, and good morning to your guests. Mr. Kennedy, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. I greatly appreciate it. I am grateful for the Government Accountability Board for keeping this government in check and accountable. Now, in my opinion, this Republican governor and legislature don't want to be held accountable. They don't want to be held in check. They want to ram through as much legislation as they can on the right-wing side, continue to do so without being called to the table. And that's my comment. I commend what you're doing, and I fully support the Government Accountability Board, and I'm hoping that we will be able to continue to have our Government Accountability Board to keep these people in check. And thank you so much.
Joan, thanks for the call. Kevin Kennedy?
Well, bear in mind that we aren't going to be taking positions on the ultimate policies the legislature enacts. We're the ones that administer that. Our role is to make sure that the public has information about the sources of income for candidates for public office, sources of support, also who's lobbying for government. So what it really does is it shines a light for the public so that they can make decisions as they evaluate how government performs as part of the electoral process.
Now, the Government Accountability Board has sort of a budget situation on its hands. Several staffers' terms end this summer. What is going to happen if the legislature doesn't extend the terms of those staff?
Well, that will make administering elections almost impossible in the state of Wisconsin. But this is a product of the 2000 elections where the federal government stepped in and required additional election infrastructure. And the agency was given over $50 million to build a statewide voter registration system, upgrade the voting equipment so people with disabilities could participate, and increase training. Because we have such a decentralized elections in Wisconsin, we used the former elections board and the Government Accountability Board's election division as the resource to support those government entities. We have about 20-plus individuals who are federally funded. Their terms are limited, and those terms expire on June 30th. The legislature needs to act to extend those terms. We still have federal funding for two more years on that. Eventually, the state will have to pick up those costs if we're to continue administering elections as required by state law and federal law.
Voter ID is not currently required in Wisconsin, but how would that have affected the Government Accountability Board's budget?
Well, you know, we did get money during the recalls to implement the photo ID law, and that was one of the tasks that we focused very hard on, developing training materials and information program, and we had that all ready to go. You know, most of the work for that is already done. We're not worried about additional money except for any public information campaign that would be necessary when photo ID comes back.
Mm-hmm. We have a Twitter comment from Emily who writes, if the GAB wasn't getting criticisms from partisans, they wouldn't be doing their job right. I guess, is that how you know you're doing your job right, is when people get mad at you? Or?
Well, that's one measure. Some people say that if you anger both sides, you're probably playing the right role as a referee. I think I can point to a lot of other items. Probably the best benefit is in 2011, we had a statewide recount of our Supreme Court race, where it was a very narrow election. And what we found out was that the number of votes that changed was very small. Now, there is an outside performance evaluation of how the local and state election officials did their job very objective format, not just who's mad at you and who's not mad at you. There's also been a number of very positive evaluations done by academics at the University of Wisconsin, at Ohio State University, commending the agency for its work. And the Pew Charitable Trust does a performance index measure of how well elections perform. Wisconsin has been in the top three in 2008, 2010, 2012. So there's a lot of objective ways of measuring how well the agency performs.
Aside from the budget, are there other upcoming issues regarding the GAB that we have not yet touched on?
No, I think the primary focus is, will the agency have the resources to do the job that the legislature has asked it to do, and what's the structure of the agency going to look like going forward?
And, I mean, there are some in the state legislature who I think would probably like to do away with the GAB altogether. That doesn't seem like a likely outcome. But some are calling for Senate confirmation of Government Accountability Board members. And even, I think, unless I read this wrong, they were even calling for Senate confirmation of some of the key appointments made on the administrative side. Is there any advantage to having or disadvantage to having greater legislative oversight of the work of the GAB?
Well, the legislature is already required to confirm the board members. And the fact is that the governor has appointed five people, our current governor, whom the Senate has not taken up any action on in the last 3 years. So that process is already in place. I think the difficulty with subjecting staff to confirmation is it's a much more tedious process. I mean, right now we have a very flexible process. The director serves at the pleasure of the board. That means the people closest to supervision evaluate that person's performance and can hold them accountable.
What is your what's your hope for the future of the Government Accountability Board?
Well, my hope for the future is that, the agency's budget request goes through, the structure stays in the same form, and then we get a bit more transparency on how the agency conducts its investigations.
And how would that transparency how would that look? I mean, what would you need to change in order to make things more transparent?
Well, we would need a legislative change that did a number of things. Primarily, allows the Audit Bureau to look at our investigative files, but also lifts some of the restrictions on what the agency can disclose about the status of investigations, how it disposes of those matters, information about whom it contracts with to assist it, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. And we're finally in a place where we're not having elections every few months. Should the problems uncovered in the audit be just, let's just resolve those in future elections?
Well, the audit recommended we report to the legislature by, April 15th, which is after the next two scheduled elections. And we expect that we'll be able to report for the bulk of the recommendations that they've been accomplished at that point.
Mm-hmm. The Government Accountability Board has received a lot of criticism from Republicans. Have you been getting any criticism from Democrats as well?
We certainly did. The Democrats controlled the legislature in 2009, 2010, and they too chafed at some of the provisions. And during the recalls, they were upset that, from their perspective, the recalls weren't moving fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
So there were criticisms. Some of the lawsuits that were brought challenging the board's action were brought by Democrats.
Okay. So oftentimes a case of whose ox is being gored, I guess we could say. Kevin Kennedy, thank you so much for spending this time with us this hour. Really appreciate you joining me this morning.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Kevin Kennedy is the Director and General Counsel of the state's Government Accountability Board. Today's State Capitol Report was produced by Bill Martins. We had on-air production from Brianne Schossau, and Christy Taylor served as the director. Stick around. More to come on the Joy Cardine Show. We're going to talk about online comments after 8 o'clock. We've all seen them, and sometimes they get pretty harsh. Sometimes they get very personal, and there certainly are a lot of them. What effect do they have? How do they impact you? Well, there's new research out suggesting that they do, in fact, have an impact on how we look at news stories. We'll talk about that after the news coming up. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. It's the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.